Hi everyone, I'm your host NG, and welcome to the 67th episode of the podcast, Sounds About Right, Audiobooks Help Us Understand the World. Now, as you can tell by the episode title, this is a bit different today. I spoke with John Paul. His TikTok handle is at JP Reads, and he posts some brilliant reviews of the books that he's recently read. Now, these books are mainly by black authors, and they fall within the literary fiction genre. So I had a discussion with John Paul around these interests, but also asked him other questions, such as his opinions on the film adaptations of the books that he's read. All the books mentioned in this episode are posted in the show notes, and I hope you enjoy listening to this. The first thing I want to run by you actually is that your TikTok channel showcases a fantastic selection of books by black authors. So what inspired you to focus on promoting literature from within these genres?
I thought, why not just make a TikTok dedicated to just bringing out black authors from, you know, from the corners, their crevices, their hiding places, and putting them out there and letting other black people know that, wait, we don't have to read, like, we're not stuck to just reading books by white authors. There are black authors out there to tell our stories in a way that's beautiful, not just, you know, the pain and the kind of trauma novels. They are books that are just about black people existing, just being themselves. And that's kind of what we want. So I guess that's why I started JP Reads, really, just to kind of be a voice for those type of people.
Absolutely. And representation is obviously crucial. So how do you choose the books that authentically represent the black experience, and what criteria do you consider when choosing it?
Mainly, if you're a black author, I will read your book. That's just it, really. Like, I'll read your book. And when it comes to genre, I have genre preferences. So me, I'm thriller, lit fic, literary fiction, which is quite, well, lit fic is basically anything that's not just, it has multiple themes going on. That's how I would describe it. A little bit of romance here, but I'm not really a fantasy or horror person. However, I do give chances sometimes. So I think the bottom line is, if you're a black author, I'll read your book. Yeah, that's it, really. Mm-hmm.
And how do you think social media platforms such as TikTok are transforming the way that books are discovered and discussed, John Paul?
I think it's more back and forth now. Mm-hmm. You can, someone can have a review, you can comment, they can ask something, you make another video, and it just goes on from there. You build a network, you build a community. It creates a hype around books. So loads of people reading the book at the same time, and that collective experience is something that we haven't really, in our generation, we haven't really experienced, I would say. For example, try to think of a book that's been quite big. Honey and Spice by Bolu Babalola, she recently won TikTok Book of the Year. When that book came out, everyone was talking about her male MC. All the girls are like, oh, I want a man like Malachi. All the girls are like, oh, I want, do you get what I mean? Like, that collective experience is something that's beautiful, and I feel like that TikTok has definitely transformed books from being a very solo experience to being a collective experience. There are now book clubs dedicated to books. You have casual book clubs where they have like one book a month, and it's a random book. They'll bring the author, you meet people, you talk to the author, you ask them, why did you write this? And I feel like that just takes reading from, you know, level one when you're a seven-year-old reading in, you know, under the cover at night in your room, to reading a book in front of people, having the author read a book to you. Like, it's just insane. I love that social media has given us that opportunity.
This is a bit of a left field question, but I think it's quite necessary as well. How do you feel about the responsibility that comes with your reviews? Because I see you have a lot of engagement, you have a lot of people that comment on it as well, and you sometimes convince them to go out and buy a book, or you sometimes have them saying, oh, I liked that book and you didn't like it, and etc. How do you feel about that responsibility, just doing that?
I always tell myself it's just being authentic. Mm-hmm. Like, the only responsibility I have is to be authentic. If I read a book and I thought I liked it and I end up not liking it, or vice versa, I thought I was gonna like it and I liked it, I think it's necessary to say that. If I misjudged the book, or if I missaid something, again, being authentic and being honest is definitely the main thing. I try not to directly discourage people from reading books. I always say, okay, this is why I didn't like the book. Because, for example, it's horror, I don't like horror. Or it was plot-led, I don't like plot-led stuff. But I always say, like, for example, someone commented, oh, should I not pick this up? And I said, oh, I don't like this book because of X, Y, Z. But I think give it a few chapters and see how you feel. Because everyone feels different about books. People's experiences are different. So I think it's my responsibility just to be authentic and to allow people to create their own opinions about books. If we agree at the end, that's fine. But I don't want to have to force you to get there. Do you get what I mean? Like, you come to your own conclusion and either we vibe or we don't.
Absolutely. So do you mind sharing a book from your reviews that had a profound impact on your perspective or emotions, and what made it special?
I have a couple here. I'm going to pick this one. So this one is The Sex Lives of an African Woman. One of the first nonfiction books that I shared. As a black man, I think people think, why the hell are you reading this? Which I think is a problem in itself. It's a book, I'm interested, let's read it. And the comments that I got were, especially black women saying, oh, from this book, like, I'm going to pick this up. Like, this is something that I want to read. And it's crazy to think that, okay, as a black man, I'm having this impact on black women's lives. Like, they feel like they need the liberation that this book brings. And I think that was probably one of the best feelings I've had once starting this TikTok, because I knew this book would be big. And it was, like, people loved it. And I think that was, especially because my audience is many black women, I knew that it would have that kind of impact. So I was eager to share and eager to share my earnest opinion, and people loved it. So yeah, that's definitely one of them that stuck out to me.
So your books, a lot of them delve into the black experience. How do you think the stories contribute to a broader understanding of diverse narratives?
Oh, I think I'm going to pick up Caleb. So Caleb Azima Nelson, author of Open Water and Small Worlds, he writes about the beauty of being a black British Londoner. Like, he makes it in such a poetic and beautiful, like, the just the simple things of being black British and living in London. And I think, obviously, with the way that black British boys especially have been portrayed by the media, if you're someone who isn't a black boy, you, when you read that book, your mind will probably be blown, because you have no idea of the things that go through our minds on a day-to-day basis. And Caleb puts that in the book so beautifully. Obviously, a black British man himself, who's gone through that boyish experience, has lived through a lot of the kind of events in history, black British history, that have, like, been there, because a lot of them happened probably like 10, 20 years ago. Most of us weren't born, but he was there as a kid. And he puts them into these books. And then when I went to a book club, for example, there were black women saying, I had no idea that black boys think like this, or this is what they were going through. And I feel like even that black women, black men are not so far from each other, but yet they can be shocked by what we think. So I think it creates this kind of, I guess, revelation on how we are as a people. And just other authors have done that as well, about, you know, being a black woman, especially there are people who are in my comments like, I had no idea, like, this is how they think or how you feel. And it's just so cool to see that these books are kind of opening the scope a little bit, and people can actually see what it feels like to be a black person. It's not just gang violence and knife crime and racism and slavery. Sometimes we struggle just to live out our day-to-day experiences. And I love that these authors are doing that, really.
It's amazing how you can get that from literature as opposed to a non-fiction book that's just listing things that's happened.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's one thing I always find quite interesting. In that sense, I suppose what I wanted to ask is, how has a book that you've read, let's say a literature book that you've read, influenced the way that you've actually moved in life as well? Like, or the lessons that you've taken from the book, how has that influenced the way you've moved in the real world?
I think if anything, is most of them have forced me to ask myself questions like, am I being as kind as possible? Like, am I considering the things that are unsaid in people's lives? Like, yeah, you can live your life and not care about anyone, but it doesn't really work like that. Like, most of the books, especially Litfic, forces you to kind of ask yourself the hard questions, like, are you being as kind as possible? Do you love as much as you say you do? Are you really for black people in the way that you say you are? Especially when it comes to issues, for example, of black queerness. People have to separate the two, but it's like, if you're for black people, you have to be for black queer people. They're marginalized. Are you really loving as much as you can, for example? Are you really being there for everyone? So I'll probably say a lot of the books that talk about queer issues have probably led me to think and feel in that direction of just being considerate, being kind, and being loving, and thinking about issues that aren't just limited to me, which is why I picked up, for example, the sex of African women. I'm not an African woman, but if I can share something that is going to help people, that's, you know, past my experience, why not?
Mm-hmm. No, it's true. Almost as if it's like just being able to see things from other perspectives, isn't it?
Yeah,
and that's a
yeah.
sick thing. That's a good thing that reading a literature book can do for you. You see things mm-hmm. from people's perspective, outside of your own, and have a level of empathy, you know, in a way that you might not have in your day-to-day life, because everyone's just trying to go from A to B, I guess.
Yeah, literally. There's no time. There's no mm-hmm. time, literally.
So another question I want to ask you actually is, what trends have you noticed in the portrayal of Black characters and their stories within the genres that you've read? Or have they been different?
I think I read quite broadly, so I don't think I can think of a trend.
Mm-hmm.
If I narrow it down, I would say, I think loads of people say this, a lot of African authors, especially the ones based in Africa, their stories are really, really heavy and trauma-based, and there can be quite heavy reads. A lot of the books that I've read that have taken me a few days to wrap my head around have mainly been by African authors, Nigerian authors specifically. And I think that's probably a trend that I've seen. And I think, not because they're trauma dumping, I think it's because they're writing from the experiences that they see on their day-to-day life. Typically, they're not as, those countries, especially in African countries, aren't as accepting of the things or people as we are in Britain and the West. So I think there's a lot more pain that goes into their writing, which makes it a lot more beautiful, because then I can see what it feels like and I can feel the emotions that they're feeling. So I think that's probably the only trend that I think African authors tend to write more poetically, but their writing is very, very heavy. Like, the topics are very, very heavy. Yeah.
I don't know whether it's a trend, but I do remember one of your videos, you mentioned how sometimes when white authors write in the Black character, they focus more on them being Black as opposed to anything else. And you'd realize it in different ways, such as them saying that they have like a deadbeat dad or something like that. Just things along those lines. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say that is a trend, but I think obviously, because I don't really read white author books anymore, I've stepped away from that. I don't really see that, but I'm pretty sure to this day, if I picked up a book by a white author that had a Black character, you would see one of those tropes. Either he doesn't have a deadbeat dad, or his mum's misusing drugs, for example, or they've gone to prison in their past life and now they're back. Like, there's just all these different repetitive tropes that they only see Black people in those avenues. And mm-hmm. It is a trend, which is, I guess, why people have stopped reading white authored books that have Black characters, because it's never going to be true to what the Black experience is, which is, it's beyond, like I said, the trauma. Sometimes we just want to get to A to B ourselves, and sometimes people want to write about that. Like, I want to know how my oyster was declined on my way to work. That's just something. I don't want to have to read all these heavy, heavy stories that aren't even accurate anyway. Like, it's just, nah.
Yeah, like trauma dumping, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's not even your trauma to dump, so, which is what makes it worse. Like, it's not for you to dump. Like, you're just making it up.
It's true.
Gosh.
John Paul, if it's possible, could you recommend an author or a book you believe deserves some more recognition?
Okay, I'm going to say two. Lola Kamada Ekestrom, I love her books. I think she is going to be, I don't know if it's because she's based in Sweden, but I think a lot more Black people need to read her books. She is amazing. She's done something that I've never seen before. She's written in Every Mirror She's Black, and it's just about the multifaceted experience of Black women and how Black women perceived by white men, just in different capacities, like being a fetish, their work experience, their domestic experience, romantic experiences. And I feel like she has done such a healthy way that my mind was blown when I finished that book. And she's releasing her next book this year, October. And I think if a lot of people, Black British people, read her book, they'll be blown away. Like, that was just an amazing book. So Lola Akamada Ekestrom in Every Mirror She's Black, and her new book is called Everything Is Not Enough. So that was good. I would also probably say Femi Kayode. So he's written, Nigerian author, he's written a thriller series, crime thriller series. And that man is a phenomenal writer. He is older, so I think this is something he's getting to in his late stages of life. And he's releasing his third book this year as well. And I think for people who love crime and thriller, especially if you're African, he really delves into the African way of crime and thriller. You know, based in Africa, you have the kind of the corruption and stuff that you see on TV, but in a book. And I would love for crime and thriller kids to just read his books, really. I feel like it's definitely going to add a new... These are new voices. You know, sometimes Agatha Christie, it's cool, but sometimes you need, like, a proper black author to come and show you what it really means, like, to write a thriller. To have a crime so terrible that your mouth is open when you're reading the book. That's Femi Kayode. Yeah, that's what I would say. Those are my two recommendations.
Brilliant. And so how do you go about discovering lesser known books? Is there a particular website you go to, or do you use TikTok recommendations too?
I do use TikTok recommendations, but there's only a few TikTokers that I can wholeheartedly trust. Some people, when they recommend books, it's like, I don't know if they're telling me the whole truth. And it's like, okay, I read a book and I pick it up and it's like, it's not really what you said. Or I realize that all this might have been a paid recommendation. So there might be a bit more encouragement to say some positive things. But I mainly go on Twitter, and there's loads of tweets and people on Twitter who just like post books. Obviously the algorithm is very, very helpful. So because I talk about books a lot, I'm getting authors on my For You page on Twitter, or authors follow me, or me following authors. And because of that, books just rolling through. Publishers and agents reach out to me now, which is quite cool. Again, it's so daunting. But oh, do you want to check out my book? Check out this book. So I think I discovered them. And just obviously just going to the old bookshop. Like, I went to a bookshop in Peckham 2 days ago, and I took a picture of these six books. And I was like, wow. I was like, this has got me excited. Like, I have a whole new set of books to look forward to. So I would say TikTok less so, but Twitter mainly, and just going out to bookstores and seeing what they have, especially the small privately owned bookstores. I feel like they tend to pick up what they put on their table, as opposed to these big chain ones. Again, representation isn't really there in publishing, so most of the authors that you're going to see in like Waterstones or like Foyles or W.H. Smith are going to be white authors. But the small bookstores, that back-end bookstores, they're going to have books that you've never even heard of, authors you've never even heard from before. And that's kind of when you start getting into the role of finding these authors that are kind of undercover, but they have the most like amazing voices. So long-winded answer, but yeah.
No, good answer. So, do you know, I wanted to ask you as well, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Have any of the books, or quite a couple of the books that you've read, been adapted into TV or film? And when they have been, what are your usual thoughts on it?
Oh my gosh, this is going to be giving me so emotional. So one of my favorite books ever, The Perfect Client by T. Williams, was dropped on Netflix recently. Netflix have a history of butchering the adaptations. And when I tell you, I watched the movie the day it came out. Yeah, I ran home from work and I said, let me do this one now. It was a Friday. I said, cool, let me watch this. They changed the ending. They skipped so much. I was just like, as a movie outright, it's cute. It had Keith Powers and Gabrielle Union, two very good looking people. So you're thinking, yeah, this is going to be good. True to book, it was not that at all. And I think it's the first one that I've seen. But I know there's a few more coming out this year, next year. Well, because of the strike, they've been pushed to the end of next year in 2025. So I'm hoping that they're good. Some of my favourite romance books, some are just other books that I've heard or haven't really read. But I think The Perfect Fan is probably the first one that I've seen, and I wasn't really a fan of it. But I'm hoping that we go uphill from here. Fingers crossed. I mean, actually, I have another answer. Percy Jackson has been readapted again. And I'm a huge Percy Jackson fan. The first book I ever read was a Percy Jackson book. So I love Rick. I love his content. So the movies were terrible. The ones they did a few years ago, not true to book. But I think now they're redoing the series with Disney Plus, I think it's going to be something to watch. So any Percy Jackson fans out there probably love that.
Sounds like it'll be interesting. I think I might have to keep an eye out for that one as well.
Yeah, I think the graphics look amazing. Like, it, yeah, I'm excited for that.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any preferred reading routines or rituals, just in general, to enhance your experience?
People think this is a bit stiff, but I don't really like ebook. I think flipping the pages is part of the reading experience, interacting with the book and feeling it. I used to fold my book corners, but I don't do it anymore simply because I like my books to look nice on my shelf, so I have a bookmark. But just the idea of like touching the book and kind of like feeling where you are, it just adds to the experience for me. I prefer to read in my commute or read during the night because I feel like it just allows me just to hone in and just focus on what I'm reading. I would say I can read during the day, but not as much. So I think those are just weird things that I do, really. Yeah, reading the night and reading on my commutes and having a physical copy as well.
Brilliant. So last one, Jean-Paul. So is there any upcoming books from authors that you're excited about that's going to be released soon?
So Blessings by Chukwu Ebuka Ibe is a book that I found randomly. I saw the cover into it and I said, this book looks amazing. And it's just simply about a black gay man living in Nigeria. And those stories are never, ever, ever straightforward. And I'm just so excited to read that. And also, Femi Kaida is releasing the second book. It's another story and mystery by the same investigator in the first book. And after reading Lightseekers, I said, yeah, this man needs to keep on releasing books because you can't stop. So I think those are two that I'm very, very excited for. There's a few out there that's just escaped my mind, but I think those are the two on my head right now. Yeah.
That was John Paul, and you can follow him on TikTok to see more of his book reviews. His handle is @JPReads. A big thank you to him for coming on the podcast, and thank you for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate the podcast and check out some of the previous ones if you haven't done already. And until then, I'll catch you on the next.